All right, it's time now for the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. And welcome on board, guys.
That's an intro.
It's been, yeah. Before I went to visit my mom, my computer completely crashed, and I wasn't able to do anything, so I had to take it to Apple to have them do the entire system all over again. They had to do all the operating system, so I lost everything, and I'm little by little adding things back. So, and I'm only discovering it as I need the services. So this morning I thought, well, where's my Skype? And I thought, oh my God, I have to add it again.
Darn.
And now, of course, they've updated it, and it doesn't even look like Skype.
Yeah. Darn Ruskies. So it's the Russians. It's the Russians.
Yes. Let's not even go there.
All
been
right,
there,
let's,
done that.
I heard something, and I wanted to just throw this in. People at this point, because tastes have changed, are so... It seems so focused on the fact that tastes have changed that they're not leaving any room for tastes to change again, or I shouldn't say change, but evolve. And the one thing about the stuff business, the art business, the object business, is that it's actually quite alive.
And sure, and constantly evolving.
And constantly evolving. And I think that sort of, when I say think, it appears that just in the because of the way that we consume information at this juncture in time, which will be sort of historically fascinating, looking back in 25 years, that people aren't really getting that sense of evolution isn't being conveyed. It's like, all right, well, this is what's popular now, and that's that. And it's like, yeah, slow your roll a little bit if you like that.
Well, I think because of the advent of the internet and being exposed to so much material from so many different viewpoints, is that we are in this transitional side, and it may seem like there won't be room to advance or evolve, but I think that there will be, because of just the diversity of styles of things that are going on and the very active nature of art and the evolution of not only style, but also architecture and technology. All of these things are integrating even more. So you're seeing, even with the technology of different types of cars and phones and refrigerators and things, that they're incorporating the technology. And as you said, I think it's going to be in less than 25 years, probably in 10 years, we're going to see a major difference. But I think because we're moving along in this, so quickly. But I also think that in looking back, and when you're in a time period, and here we are, and it's difficult to see until we get 5 or 10 years, and then you look back and say, oh yeah, there was some change. And we go through ebbs and flows. The market goes through ebbs and flows where things change.
Yeah, and it's really important to know what you like. No. I know that sounds really simplistic, but you have to learn what you like, and then you have to do a little bit of actual connective research on what where it fits in, and once again,
and stick to it.
Yeah, and how
and not be influenced, because I think one of the things that we've seen with collectors too, and we've gone into places where, oh well, what should we be collecting now, what's hot right now, and I say, well, you're going to just jump into something, you're going to overpay, and then you're going to miss the trend, because what's hot right now is what you should have bought 10 years ago and then sell.
Right. And so. I'm just amazed at, I don't, it's sort of separated itself into different tiers, if you will. And it's not about buying, I don't want to even say buying high. It's, rephrase. If you like it, like if you suddenly decide that this is what you like to do, okay, feel free to jump in. It's your money, it's your life.
Sure.
but don't expect that you're going to have the same necessarily profit increase. You could, but you might not.
Right. But that's with anything. And that's what we tell people is that if you're collecting to invest, you're doing it for the wrong reason, unless you're a professional and know what you're doing in the marketplace. But if you're just looking at stuff and you love it, and look, we always tell people, buy the best that you can afford, the best condition, and enjoy it. Because no matter what happens in the marketplace, if it goes up or goes down, you still enjoy it. And then if you have to sell it, then, you know, you purchased the best condition, and hopefully you can get some money out of it, as opposed to things that are of lesser condition or mass produced pieces.
Well, where people get in trouble is they don't stay up with the trends. So they think what they have is as valuable as it was 15 or 20 years ago. And it, not just so much with the trends of the items they have, but just in general, because just like art and music and theater and literature is all reflective of what's happening in a certain time period, it's the same thing with collectibles and any item that furniture, decorative items. You have to really be willing to go with the trends and accept the trends and what's happened with the trends of the past. And sometimes the trends for items in the past go up, like certain art objects or certain items in decorative items, and sometimes they go down. And if you're not willing to accept that, then that's where collectors have a problem. They usually get into a problem. So,
to take that to a whole nother step, Greg, is that not only with collectors, but also in different areas of collecting. Toward the end of April, I'm auctioneering for Bertoia Auctions, and they have a mechanical bank that is coming up that is an exceedingly rare mechanical bank. Greg and I were at the auction. I was the auctioneer 20 years ago. It was 2008 is when we then were moving down to Florida, and it was at Bertoia. This piece came up. Thank you for the math. Thank you. It's early. 1998. And we're not that old yet. But we were there at that auction, and there were over 300 people in the room. There were people on the phones. We really didn't have internet at the time. And there were all kinds of absentee bids, and the bidding just was crazy, and it sold really well. Because of its rarity and desirability, it's now coming up again. It has an auction estimate of $100,000 to $200,000. And it's going to be very interesting, and I'll report back to say, you know, here's how many people were in the room and here's how many people were interested, because those evolving trends, I don't think that there were younger people that are coming in that appreciate the mechanical banks. Now, the good thing with this particular piece is that it also looks like a piece of folk art. So it's also early Americana. There's a lot of crossover collectability, which could also help the piece. But, you know, we're seeing that also in different collecting areas and trends is that there are evolving tastes, and people are saying, no, I don't want that. That looks too old fashioned, or I just don't want this. And it's going out of favor where other things are getting hot, and that may change in 20 years, and it may not. And that's the difficulty of what we do as appraisers and also as auctioneers, is that, you know, we can only say, here's what happened, and we look back. Here's what happened at the last auction, and here's how we predict this trend. And this is what we then say, oh, the market's hot because everything sold really well. Well, yeah, but was it all fresh to market, and it was all really great stuff, as opposed to the auction house just couldn't get some really good stuff because people didn't want to sell it. So you have to be able to interpret the data and also realize what is going on out in the marketplace.
Well, the bottom line it comes down to this. A trend is nothing more than what is being reflected in society at any given moment in time. And as those trends, as those things change and things, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. As I said before, literature. I mean, that's what different styles of music, different styles of what people collect. It all depends on what's happening historically in any given time period. And that's all a trend is. And
right.
If you as a collector are stuck in history, then you're not going to fare well when you go to resell items, or if you're trying to live the bygone days. It just doesn't work like that in any...
Right, and Greg, and to go to your point, is that knowing and translating it into what we do as appraisers and looking at the effective date of an appraisal is saying, okay, what were the trends? What were going on at that time, and looking at the marketplace so that we can put an accurate value based on what was going on in the marketplace at that time. Because an appraisal is only good for that one day, that effective
snapshot date,
and that's it,
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
little snapshot. And so knowing that's why it's so important to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the marketplaces so that you can say, oh yeah, that was a real big trend in the 1980s, but in 2018,
not so much.
Not so much.
Right. And
I know we're coming very close to the end here.
We are at the end because we started. Okay. I was going to say trending towards the end.
We've trended past the end. So is it a thought that's holdable? Because if it is, we can pick it
yes,
up.
Yes, it is, actually. It's a good thought. It's a good thought.
All right. Love to everybody. Thank you very much. This has been the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack. With a praise this. Talk to you next week.
Happy updated Skype, guys. All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Have a great week.
Tim and Greg, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack.